I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, under heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Again, I say good day to everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and today I'm continuing studying in the book of Job. Honestly, I didn't begin this study today. I began it about 6 weeks ago. I recorded the first hour. That was the first hour that you just listened to. And after the first hour, I completed that, and all of the electricity went out. And today it's a beautiful spring day. 6 weeks later, the electricity has been restored. Excuse me while I clear my throat there. And I'm going to jump back into the book of Job. First, I'd like everyone to, take some time, put First Amendment Radio and Cross the Border, and specifically me, Nicholas Arthur, my family, on your prayer list. Remember us in your prayers, all of you righteous out there that have the ear of the Almighty, and pray for us. Pray for this ministry, pray for the work here, that because we do need the prayer. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and read the blog there. Take the articles, if you find an article that interests you, post it. Send it to your friends in email. If you have no money to support First Amendment Radio or to support crosstheborder.org, and when you support either one, you're supporting the same work, basically, because they're my work. Also supporting other programs like Inquisition Update and whatever other programs you hear on First Amendment Radio that we're able to bring to you in the format that we bring them in. So post them on your Facebook, email, links to people so they'll visit. Go on the website at firstamendmentradio.com, scroll down, and like First Amendment Radio on the Facebook link there. There are many ways that you can support it without sending money. Of course, we do appreciate money, and I have to say for our entry into the global Great Depression that is just beginning, if it wasn't for the faithful supporters, the few faithful supporters that send in their support every month, we would probably still not be on the air and providing the programs that we're providing. So I have a special word of thanks for all those regular supporters who support and give unto the Almighty out of obedience to Him, and expect nothing in return in this mortal life. They're storing up their treasure in heaven, where moth doth not corrupt, neither can thieves break through and steal. That's the same place that I have my treasure stored. And then where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Let's jump back into Job. We got to chapter 4, and I'm just going to back up to the beginning of the chapter since we didn't get very far into it. Eliphaz, the Temanite, answered and said, "If we assay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking?" What he's saying is, man, you know, I can see, Job, that you're in torment and pain, and, you know, I can't keep my mouth shut. I have to say something about this, Job. "Behold, thou hast instructed many," getting a little insight into the character of Job, and perhaps who exactly these people were. Perhaps they were men that were instructed by Job. In all probability, they were. Job being a teacher of godliness, of righteousness. He says, "Behold, thou hast instructed many. Thou hast strengthened the weak hands." Yeah, that's right. He gave to the poor. He helped those that were weak in their time of need. He taught people how to work and strengthened their hands. "Thy words have upholden him that was falling." Admonition for those in need. Instruction for those that were going astray. "Thy words have upholden him that was falling. And thou hast strengthened the feeble knees." Sustenance, whether spiritual or physical, in the time of need, in the time of another's weakness. "But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest." Oh, thou faintest. "It touches thee, and thou art troubled." Wow. Here, Job is apparently near death. It's not like when the sickness, when the weakness, when the time comes upon you, you can just, by the will of your mind, turn it away. No, this is the time to get strength from those you strengthen. This is the time to be upholden by them that you helped when they were falling. But he says, "Now it's come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled." Of course he's troubled. "Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off?" Ooh, that's an accusation against Job from his friend Eliphaz. And I know those accusations well. You know, I've been tempted with those. You see people that are downtrodden, suffering horrible things, or perhaps even being persecuted. And people think, well, golly, you know, if they were really righteous, perhaps there's secret sin in their life, and they're paying for that. But what we should be learning here is how much in error we can be, and how we should not be so quick to cast judgment upon other people, to believe in secret sin. You know, the scripture instructs us that we should even avoid the appearance of evil. That's right, to even avoid the appearance of evil. If we do something, you know, so like to draw a simple illustration, you know, a man takes a woman into his house at night, a single man. Say me, I'm a single man, and a woman comes to stay in my house at night. Now, there's the appearance of evil. Now, it may have happened that this woman knocked on my door and said, "I have no place to sleep," and I put her up on my couch or in the spare room. So, it was an innocent thing, but it appears evil. But see, now I'm supposed to avoid the appearance of evil. So, to avoid the appearance of evil, I would call somebody else, a married couple or somebody, to take this person in, or put them up in a motel or something like that, to avoid the appearance of evil at any cost, so that no one could even bring a false accusation against me. Now here Eliphaz, he's going, man, you know, Job, you've instructed us, you've instructed many. I can't see any fault in your life. But, wow, whoever perished being innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? See, the temptation to accuse this righteous man of secret sin, regardless of the fact that the appearance of evil had always been avoided in his life, so that you couldn't even, you know, bring an accusation against him. Whoever perished being innocent, and where were the righteous cut off? He's looking at Job, man, you're perishing. You're being cut off. There must be a secret sin. You cannot be an innocent man as you appear to be. He continues in verse 8 here, Job chapter 4, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. And you know, that's true. I've seen that. You know, there are wicked people who plow iniquity and they sow wickedness, and it's evident in their life. They don't even avoid the appearance of evil. They do it out in the sunshine for everyone to see. They reap the same. A true statement by our man Eliphaz here. But that doesn't apply to Job. Nobody sees him plowing iniquity or sowing wickedness because he lives by the commandment. He even avoids the appearance of evil so that no one can bring an accusation against the Almighty in him. Him proclaiming the righteousness of the Almighty in his life and instructing others. And that's my position in what I do as a witness, as a disciple, as a teacher, whatever seat I sit in, and represent the Almighty as His ambassador here on planet Earth. I proclaim His name. I have to avoid even the appearance of evil because I represent Him, Job the same. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. That's evident every day. People do it out in the sunshine. They plow iniquity, they sow wickedness, they reap the same. He continues, by the blast of God they perish. By the breath of His nostrils they are consumed. Even the righteous are consumed along with the wicked. When the tsunami comes, when the storms or the plagues or the sickness come, when war comes, the righteous can be taken along with the wicked. The blast of God, I guess you could call it that. The breath of His nostrils, they are consumed. We all die, and we all go to the kingdom we have chosen. That's why I tell people every day, cross the border, the very name of my ministry, cross the border into His kingdom. When your mortality ends, you will go to the kingdom that you have chosen for your life. You have to be there to go there. This ain't pie in the sky when you die doctrine. Like they tell you, oh, you get to go to heaven when you die. You don't say the magic words. Cast the words, the correct spelling, words. You know, say the right words, say the magic words, repeat after me, and no one will ever pluck you out of his hands. And no, yes, they use verses to give these people false assurance. They lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't suffer you to enter because they don't go in themselves. That's what it says in the gospel, in the words of the Messiah. They don't go in themselves. They lead you up. The true gospel is this. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And I say it in other words, cross the border into His kingdom. Yeah, how do you do that? Repentance is the key to the kingdom. You repent. You allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth the works of repentance in your life. Then you're in His kingdom. Then you must remain or endure in His kingdom to the end. Then you will be saved. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Eliphaz, let's get back to Job here. In Eliphaz, they that plow iniquity sow wickedness, and sow wickedness reap the same. That happens in this life, and that happens for eternity. By the blast of God they perish, by the breath of his nostrils they are consumed, the roaring of the lion, the voice of the fierce lion, and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perisheth for lack of prey, and the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof. Eliphaz continuing in his words to Job, I can't hold back anymore, Job. I just have to speak. I mean, I don't want to grieve you any more than you're already grieving. I can see you're in misery. But I have to say these things, Job. Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a little thereof, in thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men. Fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. I stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, Shall mortal men be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his Maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. Now, of course, this is a voice, this is a vision that Eliphaz is relaying to us here, that he had in the night. A spirit passed before him, and now he hears this voice saying, Shall mortal men be more just than God? That's a question. Shall a man be more pure than his Maker? Well, I'd say no, and then I would say no. Behold, he, of course, that is God, put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. We know the story about the fallen angels, who charged them with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay? Well, that would be us. Houses of clay, from dust we came, to dust we shall return, and whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Yes, if his eye is on the sparrow, how much more us? A little misspeaking here by Eliphaz. Doth not their excellency, which is in them, go away? They die even without wisdom. They die whether they have wisdom or not. Yes, our friend Eliphaz, the Temanite here, is having some profound thoughts. Let's continue in Job chapter 5. Call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? You don't see the word saints too much in the Old Testament, in the King James. So it kind of piques my interest here at what this word really is. Mine, properly a part of, hence, prepositionally, above, after, among. Really don't get a whole lot there. I guess I'd have to do a word search on the word saints there. It's just an unusual word for the Old Testament, so it piqued my interest. And to which of the saints wilt thou turn? We'll continue on here. For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. Well, this is more, observations, things that we can observe every day, that Eliphaz here is proclaiming what he has observed in life. He says, you're foolish men, and wrath kills the foolish man. They allow anger to consume them. In other words, envy slayeth the silly one. Yes, I see that every day, unfortunately. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety. They are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver. Whoso harvests the hungry eateth up. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. Through affliction, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. More observations by our good friend Eliphaz. And what is he trying to say to Job? There must be secret sin in your life, Job. There's some unrighteousness in you to bring this upon yourself. I would seek unto God, and unto God I would commit my cause, which doth great things unsearchable and marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that be low, and those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. And, you know, what I say, a lot of truth here in his observations. Eliphaz seems to be a wise man who has his eyes wide open. And here's a conundrum before him. This very righteous man, Job, in the dust, scraping, unrecognizable in visage, scraping the sores of his flesh with broken pottery, trying to understand this. Why is this happening? What is going on here? Having all of these profound observations, the kind of observations that many of us have in life when we ponder the things that happen to us and to others. I have to admit, I may have said the same things to Job. Because all of us that, you know, are the righteous, of course, by the blood of Messiah, by his imputed righteousness, you know, we were taught by somebody. We learned from somebody. Somebody planted a seed. Others came along and watered it, or the Word of God itself. And we learned. Here Eliphaz, one of Job's students, now sitting before him, somewhat bewildered. He continues, they meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night. Yes, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. That's verse 13, verse 14. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night. They're blind. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Well, we're going into a break here. We'll be back after some messages. You're listening to Cross the Border.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
The Greatest Prophecy DVD from Across the Border Productions. Embrace the little known, the greatest prophecy given by the great high priest, the once secret plan for mankind at the first sacrificial event. Believe it. Behold the end times in Daniel chapter 2, because
the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof sure.
It is the key to prophecy future. Comprehend the 7-year great tribulation, deception. Be not deceived. Understand the great prophecy delusion, because
if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Be forewarned. America, in prophecy, exposed for all to see. You must see it. The mark of the beast. No, it's not a biochip implant. A much better and more secure technology is already here, and you are already using it. We will bonus you with a free copy of Richard Bennett's groundbreaking work, The Inquisition, when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Visit the shopping page at our website or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. Send your support donation of $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Avenue, Tulare, California, or $30 U.S. for international priority mail outside the USA. A wise man is forewarned and prepares for the times to come. Will you be ready? The Greatest Prophecy DVD.
If you read the history books, the most often asked questions of Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Paths Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Back, you're listening to Across the Border. I'll take a few minutes here to ask you to visit my website. I have a contact page there. You can contact me. You can leave comments about the study or any of the articles or postings there on the website. Please do leave a comment. Be sure to sign up there for the blog so when I publish a new article that you can receive an email about that. crosstheborder.org. And if the Heavenly Father asks you to support this ministry or First Amendment Radio, please, you know, be obedient to Him and receive the blessing that He has for you. And if He doesn't tell you, well, then don't. Okay? Let your giving be with joy and out of obedience to our Heavenly Father, and you'll receive the just reward for your obedience. Okay, we're in Job here, and we got to chapter 5. Eliphaz is continuing here with a lengthy monologue directed at Job. A lot of it just kind of rambling observations. Much of it, a lot of truth to it. I see a lot of these things in around me and in my own life and the setting that I live in, and I see that I have enemies that practice some of these things. They meet with darkness in the daytime. They grope in the noonday as in night. It says it taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Of course, they're wise in their own eyes. And the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. But he saveth the poor from the sword, and from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, happy is a man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. You know, that sounds like something that our good friend Solomon would have wrote in the Proverbs there, and perhaps that's where Solomon read it. You know, it's just as I find many of the things that the Messiah said. You know, they seem profound when he said them, but I found that most of them, most of the things that he said, I find as I'm going through the Old Testament. Of course, if he was Almighty, the Almighty in the flesh, the Almighty God, of course he wrote the Word to begin with and created all things, so there's no surprise there that he would use the same words. But this is a good thing. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Yes, and I say amen to that. I am so glad that he corrects me. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. But see, this is Eliphaz directing this at Job. Is Job learning anything? Well, you know what? When we all go through our trials and tribulations in life, do we not all examine our very lives? I know I do. When I'm going through trials and tribulations, it's examination time for me. And sometimes I just go, well, you know, I didn't bring this upon myself, or maybe I did in a way, you know, but maybe not through sin, but just through circumstances and actions that I took, you know, perhaps, you know, getting involved with the wrong people or whatever. But, you know, sometimes you don't get to know people until you get involved with them, and then it's kind of too late. The trials come anyway. But happy is the man whom God correcteth. So perhaps Eliphaz is saying to Job here, well, you should be happy that God is correcting you for your secret sin. Perhaps that's the accusation there. Therefore despise thou not the chastening of the Almighty. So he's telling Job that, hey, God is chastening you. But we know from the conversation behind the scenes what's really going on here. He's being tried. Trials are not always chastening of the Almighty for sin. When trouble comes, it's not always the correction of the Almighty. Sometimes it's just a trial. Sometimes it's just to see, for us to see. I mean, you know, the Almighty, he already knows who we are because he knew the result of the trial before he gave it. And I've learned from the trials that have come upon my life that I had choices to make, and I had temptations that comes with those trials. The temptations come with the trials, and they prove us. If we stand and we resist the temptation, we take the way of escape from that temptation, and we continue uprightly in righteousness, then we have proved our righteousness is in him. Sometimes that's the only reason the trials come, to prove. And we're glad. We don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like the trouble and the trials. It's hard. I don't like the feelings of anxiety, the anguish. I don't like those feelings. Nothing wrong with feelings. Feelings mean that you're alive, that you're flesh and blood, that you have a heart of flesh. You're not a stone. That's what feelings mean. Feelings are not sin. It's not a sin to feel those things. It's not a sin to feel like, you know, throttling the person who's bringing the trial in your life. If you didn't feel those things, there'd be something wrong with you. But it's resisting the temptation that those feelings, because realizing that your feelings lie, not being ruled by your feelings, but being ruled by the commandments of the Almighty. Temptations come with those feelings. And those that don't rule their spirit, they fall for them temptations. They do whatever their feelings tell them to do. Wherever their feelings lead them, that's where they go. See? The froward of the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. That's right, just headlong into it. Doesn't matter. I don't care. It doesn't matter if I have to break God's law. They deserve it. Now, who makes that judgment? You get to break God's law? The counsel of the froward is carried headlong. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty. There's some crafty. I have a crafty Jezebel over here. She has devices that she is trying to perform. But it says, so that their hands cannot perform the enterprise. They get caught up in their own snares because the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. A lot of people, they read books like the Proverbs and Jobs, and I can identify with this. It just sounds like a lot of nonsense. It did to me at one time. I remember it was, 40 years ago. Yeah, I guess it's been that long now, 40 years since I started reading the Bible. And I can remember reading the book of Proverbs, and it was like nonsense. I was just going, wow, what is this? This is nonsense. It doesn't mean anything. It's just kind of a jumble of words. But the problem wasn't with the book. The problem wasn't with the words. The problem was with me. I couldn't understand those words because my thinking was not there. It was not a different language, but it was like looking at a different language. It wasn't nonsense. It was that my mind was filled with nonsense and I couldn't understand it. It was like reading a different language. It was like the language, the Word of God. And all I had been schooled in were the words of foolishness and nonsense. So that nonsense was my reality when I looked at the Word of God and the Proverbs and the wisdom, and it was nonsense. But I read that and it says the words to make one wise and give the young man understanding. And I could understand that part. I couldn't understand most of what I was reading, but I just thought to myself, I said, well, I want to be wise. I want understanding. So I persisted in reading it. And I read it over and over. And I'd always get a little more out of it. You know, the Heavenly Father would just, His Spirit would give me a little more all the time to keep me coming back for more. Till today, where I read the book of Proverbs or I read these words in Job and they make perfect sense to me. There's no nonsense here at all. Let's continue. Eliphaz. Very long-winded. You find these men to be very long-winded in their words, their sermons to Job. Now the students are going to preach to the master. The poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Verse 17, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise thou not the chastening of the Almighty. That's a pretty good sermon. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. You know, here Eliphaz, he must have experienced these things to be able to say them. I've experienced these things. I could say these things. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7. There shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death. And in war, from the power of the sword. Well, I'll take that one. You know, I did my latest posting on my website. It's called the Global Great Depression. And I know there's war coming and famine. In famine, he shall redeem thee from death. And I know that through these coming troublous times that are leading up to the return of the Messiah in about 60 years, there's going to be troublous times, and his elect are going to need to rely on the leading of his Holy Spirit like they never have before. And there's only one way to be led by this Spirit of the Almighty, by his Holy Spirit, and that is obedience. Obey him today. Keep his commandments. Be sensitive to the work that his Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Learn obedience. Let him work that work of repentance. Let him repent means to change. To change your mind. When you change your mind and come into agreement with the law of God, that changes your life. That is the work of repentance. Learn obedience. And then when the time of famine, when the time of war come, which they are surely coming, and the time of the mark of the beast is coming, who's going to be able to survive through that? People are fearful. And I don't blame them. You should be fearful. I'm afraid. But let that fear be a godly fear that leads you to obedience. Learn obedience. Then you will be led by his Spirit. That's the message that God has given me for the times that are coming. Read it there in my article, crosstheborder.org. Read that posting, the Global Great Depression. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death. You won't die in the famine. Hallelujah. And in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shall thou be afraid of destruction when it comes. I don't like destruction. But when it comes, he's going to give me the ability to stand up to it and not cower in fear, to rely wholly upon him. And how is that going to happen? Because I've learned to obey him today. And when the time comes, the fear won't take me. Because I will obey him then. Thou shalt not be afraid of destruction when it comes. And we have the example there of that disciple that was stoned at the end of the 70th week. And he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid. They were killing him. And what did he say? He said, I see the heavens opened up. I see the Son of Man. The Son of God sitting at the right hand of the Almighty. Yeah, he was having a vision. He wasn't afraid. All fear was gone. So we know that even if it comes to that, no matter what happens, that he will sustain us through it all. Neither shall thou be afraid of destruction when it comes, whether it's coming upon us or those around us. Perhaps he will preserve us through it, because we do have this, you know, we have a long period of time coming up through wars and famine and the mark of the beast system. He's going to hide his people. Some of them will be hidden. Some of them will be led like lambs to the slaughter. It's all there in the book. You can read it for yourself. You know, I may be hidden for a while. I may minister to the others for a while. And there may become a time when, you know, I may be put on the altar, and it may cost me my life. That's fine. Or I may live to the very end. I'd have to live to be pretty old, seeing there's about 60 years to go. It could happen. That's kind of unlikely, though. I'm not counting on living another 60 years. At destruction and famine, or Job 5:22, at destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Well, thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth, for thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee, and thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shall not sin. I like those words. You know, I've come to the point in my life you know, where my desire is, I never want to sin again. That's right. Hallelujah. I no reservation, you know. And I long for, oh, the resurrection, you know. I long for that time when I will never even be tempted to sin again. Do you long for that? See, the world, they enjoy sin. They have reservations to sin. They know they're going to sin again and enjoy it. Now, if you're mature in Messiah, you have no reservation to sin. You find no joy in it. You're not looking forward to it. You long for the coming of the Messiah and the resurrection where you'll never even be tempted again. We get that because we long for it. See? Now, there's the sinners out there that think, oh, they have a God that loves everybody and nobody's going to go to hell. Everybody's going to go to heaven when they die. But see, there's not going to be any sin in the place they think they're going. And they love sin. So how are they going to end up there? They're living a delusion. They're delusional. And I'm beginning to see just how deep the delusion of these wicked people are. And so, you know, it's easy to observe. Thou shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. And I do pray for that, that my children and my grandchildren will be great in Messiah, that they will give their lives to Him, that they will be led by His Spirit and embrace His righteousness and make it their own. Thou shalt come to the grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo this, we have searched it, so it is, hear it, and know thou it for thy good. A lot of wise words here in Job's friend Eliphaz. Continue on here to chapter 6, verse 1. But Job answered and said, Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for. Even that, it would please God to destroy me, that He would let loose His hand and cut me off. I'm ready to die. That's Job. He says, I long for death. But you notice he doesn't kill himself. That would break the commandment of the Almighty. Yet, then should I yet have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones? Or is my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me? And is wisdom driven quite from me? To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice, and wherein the snow is hid. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. the paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. The troops of Tema looked. The companies of Sheba waited for them. They were confounded because they had hoped. They came thither and were ashamed. For now you are nothing. You see me, my casting down, and are afraid. Did I say, bring unto me, or give me reward for me of your substance, or deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of the mighty? Teach me, and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. You know, that's my words too. When I'm going through troubles and trials and tribulation, I want to know. I want someone to teach me. I want someone to cause me to understand where I've erred. Those who bring accusations against me, and even false, mostly false accusations, I want them to show me in the Word of God, by His commandments, where I have erred. Job here, I can relate to this. When I'm going through troubles and trials and tribulations, I feel these same things. Teach me, and I will hold my tongue. You know, I have people out here who, you know, I post things and I bring forth interpretations of prophecy that I believe I have from the Word of God, and many tell me I'm error. I say, teach me, show me, teach me, and I'll hold my tongue. Correct me, exclude what I'm saying from His Word. Show me where I've erred. That's my position. Job says, how forcible are right words, but what doth your arguing reprove? We'll pick up here next time on Cross the Border. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org. I would like to hear from you.